This is Jeff Thorne. I am the writer, producer, showrunner of the upcoming Avengers Black Panther's Quest TV series, and you are listening to ACMG Presents Talk Time Live.
It's time. Talk time. Let's go. Anime, comics, movies, and games. Come on and let's get it. Talk time. Anime, comics, movies, and games. Come on and let's get it. Talk time. Anime, comics, movies, and games. Come on and let's get it. Talk time. Anime, comics, movies, and games. Come on and let's get it. Talk time. Live. Started in the 80s with Matt Cross. Dudes in the hood might have called that soft, but I carried that cross like Jesus did. Fast forward, I teach the kids to learn how to let go, live life, and show love to all things that don't matter where y'all from. And luckily, there's a show called Talk Time. We've been waiting for this for a long time. Dax kicks the facts on all the geek news. Special guests and unbiased reviews. Suburban kids, the hipster street dudes all can learn something new. Me too. I heard words when no faith is empty. I stayed the course, though my haters tempt me. Beep the podcast, that'll make them envy. It ain't too trendy, it's ACMG. Anime, comics, movies, and games. Come on and let's get it. Talk time. Anime, comics, movies, and games. Come on and let's get it. Talk time. Anime, comics, movies, and games. Come on and let's get it. Talk time. Anime, comics, movies, and games. Come on and let's get it. Talk time. Live.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is ACMG Presents Talk Time Live, the prime show. I am your host, Xavier Josiah, partially morning, in the morning. This is, in fact, the Infinity Wars review show. There's no other real big news that we're going to be talking about other than this. So we're just going to go straight to the point. This is an amazing, you know, time. We've waited 10 years for this and we finally get to talk about it. And man, dude, we got a lot to talk about. With me this morning is, of course, the lovely Megan Walsh. And from the UK coming back is Sir Michael Burhan. I'm knighting you. In America. I'm just telling you right now.
It's like I've never left, pretty
much. Pretty much. How are you guys doing this morning?
Good. I'm actually wondering about that. You know, the Queen has a bunch of her knights. Like, if she actually calls them to war, yeah, you would have really old people.
Probably Ringo that just got knighted. And
Sir Elton John.
Sir Patrick Stewart and Ian McKinnon. You know, yeah. Bell shall not pass. I mean, I think that's why she knighted Ian McKinnon, because she really thinks that he can raise the tides. So.
Yeah, she goes, go God now. Go kill him.
Exactly.
Why, you fools?
Your Majesty, you know that wasn't real, right?
I'm not really a wizard.
Yeah, right? Oh, my goodness. We got a lot to talk about. This has been, Jesus Christ. I mean, like, what can we say? Well, before we do that, I gotta give thanks to my previous interview and guest, none like Joshua, hip hop nerdcore artist. I mean, this dude is like ridiculously good at what he does, and had a chance to have him on the show. And if you guys have not heard him, if you guys are fans of anime in any strive, this dude, he kicks it up so many volumes. Have you heard him, Burhan?
I have not. I heard like he was touring with my fellow homie Megaran. I actually dropped Ran a text today going, did you see Infinity War yet? And Ran's like, not yet. I was like, I will save the conversation for Ran.
Yeah, right.
So I'm waiting for a text message. I do that to everyone. I'm just like messaging them, but I've seen some of his stuff after Ran told me that he was touring with him.
Oh man,
he's like a really smooth guy.
There's a reason why he picked him, he found him, and he brought him along. This dude he's dangerous as hell, man. I joked with him and told him, like, you're the reason why the Sokovia Accords were created. That's how badass he is. And the one song that I love is that he did Ultra Instinct Mode, where he was him telling his story of what happened between Jiren and Goku, and it's epic. It is absolutely, like, you can go on his website, nonlikejoshua.com, and actually download that for free. It's interesting. Me and a couple of the ACMG guys that won the contest at Philomoka went down to see him, see Megaran and him, and Samus as well. And I've heard Samus and Megaran. We were not prepared for None Like Joshua. This dude, like, you know, he speed raps like nobody I've ever seen since Twister and Busta and all them. I mean, it's sick. So don't go out of your way to definitely check him out. But, you know, thank him. He actually gave me an early copy of his Naruto album that he's going to be releasing soon. So,
oh, awesome.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to. He's a really cool dude. I mean, he kept it real, too. I mean, he like shot the shit with us and talked about like what he really goes through and the, you know, the goods and the bads and all the stuff. And I really appreciate when people, you know, come in on like that and tell us the real about stuff like that, because it's always
the best way, because when they triumph as well, they end up in a situation where you can see that. You can do this, you know.
Absolutely.
It's not the end of the world. When you go through your hard times, there's always going to be a positive if you just keep working.
Absolutely, man. So, yeah, definitely go ahead and give him a check out. And go ahead and check out the interview when you get the chance, too. So, Lady Bird of Prey, how are you doing these days?
Hello.
What's been going on with you?
Oh, man. Infinity War and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Oh,
yeah,
man.
Okay. Yeah, we might as well bring that up, too. Before we get started with that,
Talbot
is actually the Gravitonian villain.
Yeah.
He actually looks like if you ever seen him in the comic books or like even the Earth's Mightiest Hero series, he does look like him with the beard and everything. I was like, wow, look how this came like 360 on it.
Oh yeah.
General Talbot, who used to chase the Hawk.
you know what makes me laugh about that is like the guy who played him has been in
everything,
like nearly everything.
Yeah,
he's been in like super. He's been in the Heroes. He was in Supergirl. Like,
well, he still is. He still is. He's doing. There's a lot of people that actually is doing like two roles at once these days. I'm noticing. Yeah. He's one. The woman, the agent in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. The light skinned girl. She with the short hair, like almost a Halle Berry short haircut from back in the day. She also plays as one of the DEO agents on Supergirl as well.
Oh my god,
she's a double agent, like legit. I was like
DC and Marvel, you know what I mean?
I like also watched I watched this other show. The guy from Riverdale, the jock, also played on Black Lightning as Painkiller. So I'm like, dude, people are getting paid.
Well, I'm saying Black Lightning right now is my favorite.
It really did take over. I think it even beat Flash at this point.
Yeah, it's available on Netflix now.
Oh, what?
Yeah. Yep.
I'm watching it all over again.
It's two weeks behind. What they tend to do is they post a new episode a week after it initially airs. The one thing I will say about the reason why it's taken over is one, Arrow is bloody boring.
Yeah, really. Right, it honestly, I still watch it, but
yeah.
Now it's just watch it out of just respect. But it's
still bad.
I get no enjoyment out of it though.
It should have had a lot more of an oomph, a lot more of an impact.
Well, because it's like after the second season with Slade, how do you come back from that? And they've been trying to hit that Slade mark, and it just hasn't been that good. I don't think they should have made Slade a good guy in the first place, and just had him being an antagonist throughout the whole entire thing to some extent.
Yeah, that's true. But it also, like, the problem with this season as well is they're doing too much of this bait and switch malarkey.
Yeah.
And also the dissension between everybody. And it's kind of one of those things where I came out of it thinking there's too much that they're trying to pull off, but it looks as bland as burnt toast right now.
it really does. I mean, but out of respect, I still roll with it like people do with Supernatural. So
yeah.
Oh, I love Supernatural. I'm a huge fan. I see no wrong with Supernatural.
I need to jump on it.
Well, after the Scooby-Doo episode, I think you need to jump on Scooby-Doo crossover. Freaking had me in stitches. It was the best thing ever. Like once I watched it, I had to watch it again. That's how great the episode was. But yeah, with The Flash, it's pretty much similar. The Flash is kind of, it has some great episodes.
Yeah.
And then it has some episodes where it's just kind of slow filler.
Well, it's the antagonist. It really plays a big factor.
Yeah.
And how menacing, and like, I feel like they're going in different directions and every which way but one right now. And with the with the main dude keep changing in different forms, it's hard to focus on
them. Yeah, because some actors can pull it off, some actors can't.
Not everybody's Wells. Not everybody can play Wells does. That dude is ridiculously talented.
Yeah. And you know what that made me laugh? I was actually re-watching Scrubs recently, as kind of one of ways to kind of cheer me up a little bit. And with Scrubs, the guy who played Wells actually plays JD's brother.
His brother, right? Who died, right?
It's hilarious because watching him in that, and also what it's a totally different character.
He's like, so good totally at it. Different. When he plays like six degrees of Wells or five different versions of him or something like that, it's crazy how he does that. Because at one point you'd be afraid of him. Another minute you're scared of him. Another minute he cracks you up.
The first season, like when even though you knew, when he confirms that he was the Reverse Flash, you were just like, oh my god,
I hate him so much for what he's done.
Yeah.
So, but going back to segueing back to the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. thing, because I mean we're gonna segue this to Infinity Wars. Are any of you upset that it didn't connect to the?
It did.
It did in what way?
When Daisy meets up with Gary Busey's son, Jake Busey.
Yeah.
The candy man.
Yeah.
He turns to her and goes, "Did you see this crazy stuff that's happening in New York?" She's like, "I don't watch the news."
Oh crap. I love the little stuff. I did not check this out.
It was very small and very subtle. And that's the other thing. Like, hey, they see a spaceship here. They're going to be coming.
Right.
No, because there's a spaceship in New York.
Well, that all makes sense. God, I love the little stuff.
It's tiny, but it was there.
Yeah, I was totally just like, I don't want to say I was skimming through the episode, but I was really, you know, just viewing it not thoroughly. So I did see the Candyman role and them talking, but I didn't really listen to the banter between the two.
Yeah, normally it's a lot more overt.
Yeah.
You know, like Hydra completely destroying the shield.
Yeah, right.
Those were the days.
Oh, Veronica Webb just like saying, we're going to just kill the rest of Coulson and them if they do anything wrong.
That's the one thing, though, I find about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Again, I have a love-hate relationship with that show. Like, it started off strong, and now it's kind of gone dipped a little bit.
This season...
Oh, I love it.
This season... No, I mean, last season, I thought it was the best season ever, with Ghost Rider and then the LMD series. Awesome. This one is... It's below the level at this point, at least with the scroll, the first half of the season. But then it is starting to pick up, and it looks like this is going to be the end game. For everything. Yeah,
the last episode's called The End.
Oh, Jesus Christ. All I know...
So do you think they're going to renew... They'll renew it? Or do you think
they've actually said that they were going to... This is going to be the last season.
Yeah.
Ah, yeah.
So, I mean, if you notice the season...
Pick the season up, so...
Yeah, if you watched it, the season, they've been really, really coming, bringing back a lot of the things that we were loving about the series. Some of the enemies and everything were coming back. So it was kind of wink, wink moment of everything that has happened at this point. So it looks like, I don't know how this is going to end. We don't know if Coulson's going to die. Or even more importantly, are they going to be connected in that damn movie? Because that's what I want.
Coulson's going to be in what's it called?
It's Captain Marvel. But it's set in the 90s, though, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll be there.
Yeah, technically, I mean, yeah, but the idea was like the payoff was, you know, let him see the people that saw him die. You know, that to me was the end game.
The thing is, apparently, they were saying, this is because Marvel keeps rolling back and forth about this. One minute they say it is canon, next minute they say it's not canon.
Mm-hmm.
But Josh Whedon actually came out and said when he died in the Avengers movie, he was dead. And they said to him, why did you bring him back for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? And he's like, well, that's not canon. And then Feige comes out and goes, no, there is canon.
The way it sounds like they're kayfabing us pretty much.
Yeah.
Because they are trying to mix our emotions to not be concrete to us, to, you know, try to steer us away. I think it's all canon because you had episodes where... you know, remember Thor characters was in there. You had episodes where it was connected to Doctor Strange and Nick Fury was in it, for God's sake. So there's no way, like directly after that whole entire situation. So no, that they're kayfabing. Let's get down to really quick before we start. We actually had the opportunity to see the new full Venom trailer. What did you guys think? Ladies first, I'll start with you, Megan.
I'm just really excited to see it. It looks, I think it looks good. I don't know why everyone was hating. I don't know where I saw it online. It was a GIF of him turning into Venom, but his eyes were googly eyes.
Like the, pretty much like the comic, yeah.
So, I don't know. I think it looks interesting. I'm a big fan of Tom Hardy.
Right.
So, I don't know. I'm hoping for the best and expecting the worst.
Right.
So.
I'll explain that as soon as I hear from Burhan's thoughts of it. What do you think of it? What do you thought of it?
I'm a big fan of Tom Hardy as well.
Right.
I love the guy. I just, there's certain things, like his character was a bit dodgy, his Eddie. And at first, when he portrays Eddie, he sounded really gruff. He sounded like the Eddie you heard from the Spider-Man animated series, like the original animated series that was released in the 90s. So I was fine with it. But then as they further got into it, he kind of made Eddie sound like a scared child.
Yeah, it was a little high.
Yeah, or someone with Down syndrome. And it was just, it was really bad.
Right.
Because he didn't sound very coherent. He sounded kind of silly. And I'm sitting there, I was like, I'm chalking it up to maybe it was the way it was edited.
Right.
Maybe he was in a panic mode. Maybe it was a situation where he wasn't, like, because they had him locked up and something like that. So I'm sitting there going, okay, I want to see how it goes.
Right.
I like the fact that they eliminated the Spider-Man element from it.
Really?
So... they've basically put it as he's investigating this corporation. They have the symbiote in this corporation. The symbiote bonds with him because he basically goes in there to get more information. Then the symbiote takes control and says that it wants to kill people. And he's like, no, I don't want you to do this. You know, you could only kill bad guys. And he's like, no, you do what I want, you know. I like it. I'm pretty much on Megan's side here.
Now, why exactly did you like the Spider-Man, lack of Spider-Man element on it in this?
Because it separates it from the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Spider-Man 1, Tom Holland's too young to deal with. So I'm glad that they've kind of found a way around that.
Yeah.
Two, the fact that I think the movie needs to be about Eddie, I don't think that the problem that a lot of these companies are having right now, why they can't make any cinematic universes, is because they're not doing what Marvel did with the 10-year plan. They're trying to throw everything at the wall, hoping that something sticks, and then go, well, from name value by proxy, we can make this work.
Right.
And it doesn't work like that. Mm-hmm. There has to be story, there has to be substance. And I think with the way that the story's working and the fact that Tom Hardy is such a strong actor in his own right, that he'll make it work. I'm just hoping that he sorts that accent out a little bit more. Like he, as I said, there's times where he got it and he's on point, and then there's other times in the trailer where he's like, sounds like a scared cat for some reason. So I'm hoping that it changes and they can, you know, because basically they're showing us the raw footage right now. They're not showing us the edited footage with the pickups and basically the audio editing that they usually do when you're doing a movie where they'll be working stuff in studio. So I'm hopeful. And there's also the fact that they casted Woody Harrelson from no one knows who he's going to be playing.
Right.
I think he's playing Carnage, you know, fingers crossed.
Which would be awesome if the name Cletus would come up in his name.
Yeah, if he plays Cassidy, then I have no issue. If they put him as just some random dude number four.
Because he can really play a good, like, serial killer. We know this very much.
So I'm happy with this. And the only thing I'm worried about is the fact that Amy Pascal is producing it. And Amy Pascal doesn't really have a lot more hits. She has a lot of misses, like the Ghostbusters Lost the Call. She was responsible for the atrocity that was the Amazing Spider-Man movies.
Ugh.
With Black Electro, who was a bird for some reason, because having balding hair and weird teeth makes you a nerd. And also, if you fall in eels, it was Electro. That somehow turns you into a supervillain. So, you know. But yeah, so I'm hoping that they figure out that Marvel at least coming in and Feige's looking at it going, okay, this will work, and helping her a little bit, because if you leave it up to Pascal, the movie's going to suck. So fingers crossed. I am hopeful. I'm going to give this a chance. Also, along with, you know, Into the Spider-Verse as well. So I'm hoping that everybody knows what they're doing. I'm praying for this. I pray to the comic book gods that this works.
As a Venom fan since the beginning, and I can my optimism is very thin here. And only because, and I understand Eddie became a better man later on, especially when he got was diagnosed with cancer. But I am so intimate with the original premise of Eddie Brock and the original premise of why he had that symbiote. So it's kind of hard that they changed it around. And I'm speaking just, you know, vicariously through the people who are skeptical about it. I can understand why, because the storyline of him, you know, he was the original guy that really put out fake news in the comic books, you know, when he put out a report about the Man Killer and Peter exposed him. Now, granted, like you said, Tom Holland is way too young, and that makes sense. But it was Peter Parker, and in some ways they could still do that. But Tom Holland, being out of that universe, they had to find a way. So I get that, but the idea of him being a villain was such a big deal in the 90s, and he was one of the most feared and one of the biggest things going on. And him and his obsession with Peter Parker was such a great deal. The fact that him and Mary Jane, like Mary Jane, just the mere sight of that suit frightened her immensely. That was so, you know, jaw-jacking. And then the fact that this was literally just the being of the symbiote was Peter Parker's Achilles heel, because he couldn't use his spider sense. He couldn't detect him at all costs. And this dude had the ability to be invisible, most like a la the Predator and all the stuff, and creep up on him, change suit. You know, all that was really cool about it. So him being a protagonist, it's weird. It just feels very weird of them doing it. I think people really wanted to, you know, in redemption from the original Spider-Man 3 from back then. The special effects, I think, look great. And I think that's the only thing I had no doubt about, that I knew they were going to really knock it out the park, and they did. It really has that Todd McFarlane look with it so far. We didn't see them do the whole entire body of it in CGI yet with the white icon in the middle. So we'll see how that goes. But I'm going to be reserved until I see more footage of what's going on, because, and also the fact that the symbiote is a lab, you know, experiment and not like an outer space, you know, actual living being. Also,
well, they're saying it's an alien. They're saying it.
Oh, they're saying it's an alien. Okay, that's that at least.
They're just using it for their own resources. What they've done is, I believe they have more than one of them.
Okay. So there's Carnage and there's Anti-Venom and whatever they can do from there.
Well, basically, I believe they have like five symbiotes.
Oh, good God.
It's gonna if they do it right, and it's a polarizing story, and they write something towards what Hardy can do, I have no issue. But again, as I said, Amy Pascal, so that's what I'm worried about. Like, this woman is detrimental to, like, comic book movies, to any movie right now. She's just...
I got the sense of a 90s style of movie making, and that's not a good thing. Anything that was done, any comic book movie that was done in the 90s never turned out good. It was...
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. I'm talking like you were talking to the Punishers, the Fantastic Fours, to the Captain Americas, all the like
Spawn.
That's one of my guilty. That's one of my guilties. I mean, it wasn't the best, but it wasn't bad either. At the same time, so it was like
when they didn't know what comic book movies were. They just wanted to try and do something to draw interest.
They thought Hollywood was bigger than the comic books, and they figured it wrong.
Batman Forever.
Hey, oh God! the franchise that nearly killed the series, man.
Batman and Robin was the worst one.
Oh, the bad credit card is legendary.
Na-na-na-na-na-na-na, Clooney.
Everybody freeze.
Apparently the other one was like Batman Triumphant. They were gonna do after that. As like it was supposed to be its own little trilogy within it jumped off the Burton versions, and what was it? What killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age.
Oh geez. How about Batman sit your ass down at the time? How about that? So yeah, we'll see. I mean, like I said, like I'll just be reserved until the time goes by, but it's happening, people, whether you like it or not. So we'll see from this point. There's been many times when we prejudged things and then later on we figured out we were totally wrong. So who knows what this is going to happen here. So
hold on to your butts.
Exactly. Like X-Men Days of Future Past was probably the one film we all went in going, oh my God, this is going to be terrible.
And then found out it was going to be, yeah.
You know, so.
Wait, here's the thing. You know what I really hate? I really hate the fact that people were saying how good that movie was, and all of a sudden now I'm hearing things that people say that sucked.
Road Cut was so good.
Road Cut was tremendous, man. I cannot stand. But the original one was good too. I mean, like, I can't stand when people years later want to try to be the cool kid and try to be the rebellious.
I saw it in the cinema and I did a review on it and I gushed about the movie. And
right.
I remember Miguel basically came to me and goes, was it that good? And I was like, watch the review. And he watched my review and he went, okay, you're totally overhyping this. He went and watched it. And then his words were, Bryan Singer could touch as many kids as he wants as long as he put out that gold.
Oh, Jesus.
I just sat there. I was like, oh, my God, dude, what?
That's your dude. That is your dude.
Bravo.
Yeah, right.
I laughed my head off. But afterwards, you know, it was one of those things. I looked at it and it went beyond expectations,
right.
And I think that's what they need to do with the Venom movie.
Yeah.
I expected literally nothing to come from this.
Yeah,
the
exactly.
The fact that Tom Hardy, who's a polarizing actor in his own right, he's taken terrible movies and turned them into
I think he is
stuff.
The factor. I think he is the factor of actually making this good. And
I don't think people would have signed on if it was terrible.
Absolutely. So let's find out and sure. We'll continue this news and more as time goes by. So let's get to it, man. Let's get to it. Now, what the hell do we watch, man?
Megan on that one. I was just like, I was in the cinema with my best mate, and I've never heard a cinema just go quiet.
Quiet!
Like, yeah.
And not in a bad way. Not in a bad way. Just like, I can't believe what I just saw here. And... yeah, let's talk about this right now. And then following this, we got a lot of things we're going to talk about. We're going to break it down in different segments. But also, at the end, I'm going to read a few comments from the ACMG Facebook group because our talk time is there, and they're still talking right now about it. People are just shocked. I'm going to go down a limb right now, and then I'll hear from you guys. We're going to talk the overall impressions of it. But after watching this, one, I was damn near speechless. Almost speechless, per se. Because it got so quiet in there, I had to joke. And at the end, you know the scene where, like, it's just, Avengers Infinity Wars? And it faded away just like everybody else. I was like, damn, Thanos even killed the font. That's how badass it is. The audience actually started, it actually broke ice in there, man, for a minute. But after watching it, I can't. It's hard for me to deny. This is the most powerful comic book movie I've ever seen.
Yeah, they went straight into it. Like when
directly from Thor Ragnarok,
kind of went straight in. But there were a lot of questions. I came out of it with my sitting there and I was pondering. And I went to dinner with my best friend afterwards after we watched the movie, and I was still pondering. And she just sat there and she was like, you're really quiet. And I'm like, I don't know how to respond to what happened.
No. And of course, we are hardcore. We stay for the end credits because I was like, I need some redemption. I need to know something is going to be okay. But we'll talk about the end credit later on down the line. But man, I'm sorry. This was just the Russos. I can't say enough about them. I can't.
Literally, my top five Marvel movies are literally they directed everything. They're on the top three.
They are
the
best. I love Jon Favreau. I love Joss Whedon. These guys, I'm speechless. I can't even come up with the words to say what I've just saw in such a way that they did it and how they managed to mash so many people together and gave everybody their spot. And, you know, it was just beautifully done. And coming from just reading the books again, they managed to make what took the essence of what that book, the grit, the grind, the darkness of it, and make it their own. And it was beautiful. I'm sorry. People, say what you will. I know there's some Jedi people out there. And I was born in the year of the Jedi, but what? This is my new Empire Strikes Back. Bar none.
Yeah.
And so much better than The Last Jedi. I'm going to point that out.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. This was the way they left you hanging at the end. This was, I was like, I'm sorry. This is, we finally got it. We finally, Empire got the throne finally as the biggest cliffhanger ever. This is it. And the bad part, the crazy part is I knew when this was going to happen, but I didn't know how they were going to do it. And it was like,
same way. So I sat there and I went to my best friend. I was like, I know he's going to end up. He's going to end up winning this. I know he's going to end up winning this. I know he's going to. And then at the end, I'm still sitting there going, what the hell just happened?
They literally, the Russos literally left us in the dark. And it's funny, like they did better than what the Sopranos did when they did. That was way. I was like, wow, that's it.
But this is basically the TV formula anyway, because the way they did it, as everything was episodic.
Yeah,
it's the TV formula of develop characters first, focus on stories with those characters, get people to
love these guys,
and accept those characters. To the point where you basically are going to feel empty when those characters end up having a major consequence, and that's literally what happened.
And yanked it away. And beautifully and smartly done as to who they chose and everything from there. I mean, seriously, overall, this movie is. There's nothing else to say. This is one of the most powerful experiences I've had. I mean, where I still felt the same way I felt like every other film. But I didn't come out of there like, wow, I just left a funeral. Yeah. It was like, wow. Meg, what did you think of the movie overall?
My head exploded. I was trying to give like a spoiler review, like a spoiler free review of the movie to my friend.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can't, I honestly
there's no way you can.
Anything.
Yeah.
And I'm like, the best thing I could say is there is absolutely at no point in time where it's a good, like there's no good time to pee during this movie.
Right.
Yeah.
Because even in like the only good time to pee is at the very end when they roll the credits and you can run back to watch the
literally
end.
Run literally but I went before I thought about it. I thought about it real quick and I'm like, yeah, I'm about to go order, because I went to Movie Tavern, so you know they like I'm about to drink it up, so it's like, no, nah, let me go before and be ready for this, because I gotta
my
fill
best
it
friend held it in. She held it in for the whole movie. She was a chap. I was like, what the hell,
shout out.
there is no good chance to time to pee during that movie, and it's heartbreaking and heartwarming, and it is you know
everything.
You know what, I mean, you know what's gonna happen,
mm-hmm.
but the entire time you're like, this is not what I thought was gonna happen. Like,
exactly.
Wait, and like, no matter how many trailers I saw, and no matter like, the one thing that I thought was interesting was even in the trailers, Thanos did not have as many rings, have as many stones.
Yeah, you're right.
In the trailer, they must have done CGI changes.
You know what
or
else they changed to, Meg?
What?
The Hulk in Wakanda.
Oh yeah, Hulk was not there.
Hulk was not there.
Like it's insane. They were like, they threw us one way and they.
Oh, the swerves was the best swerves.
La 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 la.
Best swerves outside of pro wrestling. No, I agree, man. I know you said your piece, but what do you think overall, Brian?
I would literally, if I could rate it out of 10, I would give this movie a fine 10. It was the first time that I was encapsulated by a story that I knew what I was going to expect going in, and then watching everything happen at the same time, like, my God, Loki.
Yeah.
Like, I expected him to last to the end of the movie. Nope.
It's like Charlie Murphy on Dave Chappelle. Wrong. Wrong.
What the hell? And it was literally just like, oh crap, he's gone, you know, because you expected like Hiddleston was like a major part
throughout like a lot of the movies.
Yeah, like Valkyrie, who we saw in Thor Ragnarok, expecting her to be a new character in the whole thing. Nope, she's gone.
They're all dead. Idris dead.
Here's the deal. We saw Hemno dead. We saw Loki dead. And they're super dead, too, by the way, because, like, they were dead before he snapped his fingers. So I don't expect him to come back. Yeah. We haven't seen Valkyrie's body, so I'm going to be skeptical about that.
Unless she escaped out of a hatch somewhere, or she was in the toilet. Girl be dead.
I was super, super excited at the fact that they used the Hulk the same way they used the Silver Surfer.
Exactly, which I'm going to segue right into that. I'm so glad you said that. There was parts of the movie that did pay homage to the source comic, and that was definitely one of them. I was very happy to see that, and it made sense.
Yeah.
It absolutely made sense about that, that he was the one to do it after he got his ass lit up.
Ooh, and I mean, that fight could never come back out.
Dude, he was too scared. That's so you badass when you beat the Hulk that bad. Like, he was I ain't see combos like that since like McGregor or Mayweather.
And it's so funny because Loki did the opposite of what they did to him.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, we have a Hulk, and then Hulk goes after him and then gets his ass beat.
Which is a great
Hulk
homage
to Loki and flung him around like a little toy.
Which was a great homage to the Avengers too.
That's what he did. He beat him straight, so the Hulk ain't coming out anymore.
Yeah.
He put it so far into that dude's psyche that, you know, he didn't want to come out.
He was like, no.
You're embarrassing me in front of the wizards.
Right? No, but yeah, again, like, he did take the place of Silver Surfer, and I wondered who was going to be the one to do it. He did it. He fell into the sanctum, and that it made all the sense in the world. And how Banner, you know, came out in fear just like the Surfer was in the original book. Awesome. Yeah. I thought it was awesome right there. There was also, and correct me because you both have read the source book too. Nebula, of course, being tortured, that was a big deal. Now, like I said, I did the review version of this on a special podcast where I reviewed the entire thing over again and just noticed like how much this was not going to be in the a lot of this was not going to be in the movie. I felt that part had to be, and they did. So they did it in their own way because she's a cyborg in this one, and it still looked menacing. Oh.
That was disturbing.
It was. Now, even, I still think it would have been more disturbing if she was like a zombie burnt up singed. But
the fact that he was pulling her apart, I was sitting there like cringing as he was doing it. And the fact this movie's a PG-13, right?
PG-13 has been taken to another level in this generation.
Exactly. It felt like it was. It had worse stuff than I've seen in horror movies.
Yeah.
And just watching him just pull her apart. And her screaming was just, it was the most cringeworthy thing I have ever seen.
And Gamora's response to that was great too.
Yeah. And the fact they also replaced his conviction, they gave Thanos a lot more conviction. They humanized him a little bit. You know, they gave him purpose. They also gave him like an attachment to Gamora.
I thought like Gamora was the Lady Death of this movie.
Yeah. And Josh Brolin, I don't know how much Marvel's paying him, but he's asked for more.
Yes.
Like, he played Thanos so well to the fact that I just wish that they would make it canon the way he was playing
him. We had idea. You know what? A lot of times when somebody's performances is really well, they do kind of change the things around for that aspect. And you know what's crazy, too? You know, mentioning that, we knew that he was going to be the Endgame. And they had to. After everything that they've done for the last 10 years of building this up, you had to wonder, how are they going to do this? Was he going to be the end-all be-all villain of all the Marvel villains that we've seen throughout 10 years? They did it. Success.
Yeah.
Success.
And the crazy thing is, like, you can, like his, not only is his conviction solid, but it's... You almost could side with them. You're like, you know what?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you do kill off like half the people, there wouldn't be hunger and there probably wouldn't be as much war.
Right.
And you think of that, it's like he's just trying to be a peacekeeper. And then you're like, what am I thinking? Like, that's terrible.
You almost Walter White yourself.
you're watching. And you're like, no.
It's like saying Hitler was right.
Right, yeah, right, exactly. Well said.
You catch yourself and you're like, no, no, no.
Which is weird, which is crazy and very I give credit to the writers for this because, you know, the original book, of course, was Lady Death was the one that felt that there was an imbalance in the universe and there was too many people still living. And she brought back Thanos to, you know, keep the balance. And he wound up going for his own. He took liberties on his own and got the gauntlet, you know, still being infatuated with her all along. And they changed it around. And I actually like, if I had to choose between the comic book version of Thanos and this version, the Josh Brolin version, and this version of Thanos is far better.
Oh,
yeah,
hands
down.
Well developed.
Yeah, well developed. Right. Shout out to Randy Green of the Black Tribbles because he's always joked about how emo Thanos always was. And then reading the book again, I'm like, yeah, he kind of was in a sense. But he was also chauvinistic, too, when it came to her as well.
He reminded you of Victor Von Doom, in a sense, because he was arrogant with the way he was. Like, I have so much power. Mm-hmm. I am the strongest. I am the smartest. I know what I'm doing.
I'm the only one that's capable of handling this.
And then he ends up with a Thanos copter and gets arrested by police or something.
Some damn hostess cakes.
So, you know. But with this, it was different because he was like... Everyone knew who he was. They knew, like, Tony Stark even said that he was obsessed with Thanos.
Was not even obsessed. Remember, throughout the movies, Avengers Age of Ultron especially, he had visions of this coming. And then Iron Man 3, he was going through, you know, PTSD.
You mean The Incredibles, right?
Yeah. Stop. Of all this going on. So, I mean, yeah, it all makes sense now. It all came full circle when, you know, he finally met with Thanos and Titan and all this, you know, came about. So, like, it really brought... A lot of this movie brought more value to all the previous movies, too, in here. Was there anything else out of there that you guys noticed that was kind of based on a source that you caught?
Well, the very end, when he's sitting there watching, you know, looking over everything, that's actually a screen, that's a direct picture from the comic book.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, he wants to be on a farm, this, that, and the other, and that's
which was from the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. I do remember, because at the end of the book, he...
Scarecrow.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, yeah, that right there. And then, of course, the snap of the fingers. And everything going. So you got that right there. So, all right. We talked about Josh Brolin. So that's just on our list of things. But who are your standout performances right now? Right now, Brolin's on top.
Yeah. He's Tom Holland is second for me.
And I was going to say that too. Tom Holland, Spider-Man. As a Spider-Man fan, I could not be more happy about this movie, of the amount of use of Spider-Man that they had for this. Not only that, not just the fact that, you know, they had him on here, not just the fact that they had the iron suit, spider suit, which had the damn arms on there. Oh my God, I was so hyped for this. But the fact that Tom Holland's performance was just unbelievable.
He was a standout, one of the standout characters.
The standout, to the very end, literally.
The end, between his chemistry between him and Tony. Basically Robert Downey Jr. as Tony Stark.
Yeah.
When he's like dying in his arms. Oh. Dude, if you didn't cry like a bitch, like you should have, then
I felt it inside and I was like, this is the best death scene in a whole entire movie.
Wait, yeah. So it 100% took its line from Doctor Who when David Tennant left.
Yeah.
He says, I don't want to go.
Wow.
And then it starts disappearing and regenerating. And then he said, I don't want to go. And I'm like, oh my God.
When David Tennant said it, he was chewing scenery. Yeah. When Tom Holland said it, it had purpose. So, you know, I always have a problem with that scene because I remember watching it and he was doing it. I'm like, you're just hamming it up right now. Literally.
But it's David Tennant, though. Come on.
It's the same line. Expected like, Oscar bait to be flashing on the screen.
But he did it in such a way, it was like, because him being a kid and he's not used to being in this type of situation, and it was beautifully done. It was so heart-wrenching. And if you haven't understood Tom Holland's acting chops at this point and why he was chosen for this part, there's no way you don't get it.
I would be even so happy to have this kid as my Spider-Man for the next 10 years.
Absolutely. I absolutely want to see him grow and evolve into the adult Peter Parker at this point. It was awesome. Chris Pratt, also played a part. Now, we're going to talk about him.
Man,
we're definitely
going to.
Yeah.
See, I want to use the F word just for Peter Quill, but I'm not going to. I'm going to restrain myself. Literally, like, he was the biggest. And if you go by the comic books, this is literally how Star-Lord is written.
Yeah, he really
grew up.
Yeah.
He's the guy that sometimes he will eventually do something right because he's always going to screw up, but he never learns his lesson.
Right.
And the fact that they had Phaedos, they literally were winning. And then Peter Quill comes in and goes, lets his emotions takes over and lets Phaedos get out, to the point where everyone was yelling at him going, what are you doing?
And unfortunately, Mantis can't handle two people at once because she could have easily just put him to sleep at this point. But
yeah,
I would have been like, Tony, I would have blasted him.
That's why I was sitting. I was like, just kill the guy. Just kill Quill.
I always say, kill him. Just like he has ways of just knocking, stunning people, at least. I'm like, dude, nah, you had the power right there. But with that said, he was still very charismatic. He was still funny up until that point. And
are you going to challenge him to a dance battle like you did the last time?
I did like
a dance battle for the universe.
Yeah, man. He was still Peter Quill. I mean, Chris Pratt did a great job in there. Chris Hemsworth also, I thought, was very good as well.
It was the best Thor movie ever.
Yeah. Well, outside of Ragnarok.
Stand up between him and it's when the two Chrises were in the same room and he's changing his voice to sound more like Thor. And then, like,
yes!
Yeah, and he's like, he goes, you're copying his voice. No, I'm not. I always sounded like this.
Mantis even still like, you are, there it is. It was so
I was dying because he was so emasculated by Thor that he's like copying him,
yeah,
trying to size up to him, everything. It was hilarious.
I loved how he was calling.
He's like a pirate had a baby with an angel.
Exactly. Yeah. And yeah, oh God. And I liked how he always called
Rocket Rabbit.
The horse. And he's like, go away.
Yes,
yes,
go, Rabbit. This is Rabbit and Tree.
Exactly.
I am Groot. I am Steve Rogers.
Wait. By the way, he took a prerequisite in Groot. What the hell?
It was an elective.
An elective or something like that. Yeah, I was like, what? First of all.
You speak Groot? And he's like, yeah, I took an elective in school.
I'm like, what? They have a school in Asgard? I need to know more about this.
Like, Groot's people were literally, there was a planet of these things, so obviously being Asgardian.
But I like the fact that he did give a background as to why he understood them, too. So yeah. That was great. And I gotta give my shout out always. They gave him so much time again. He's far professional at this point. I thought it was just a fluke the first time, and then the second time he did it again. And this time he knocked it out of the park. Batista.
He's comfortable playing. Like, Drax is literally an extension of himself. So.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, and I have to admit, he did, like, I laughed. Every single quip he said, like,
he did.
I am eating so slow that you can't see me, that I appear visible to the naked eye.
Oh, my God.
Eating the chip. And he's just like, we can see you, Drax.
But
and
again,
still doing it.
But again, everybody had their time in here, and it was like,
yeah.
I mean, we called it the Joss Whedon way at first, but I think these guys mastered the formula so well of, you know, learning character development, giving people the right time within the right time of frame, the frame of time in the movie, and it was just great. Anybody else that stands out for you? Burhan, I'll go with you this time. Anybody else that stood out with you?
As always, Robert Downey Jr. did his part. He was amazing.
Yeah.
I will give Benedict Cumberbatch his
news.
His accent is still terrible. But as a character, he really played Strange really well.
Yeah, he does.
Like, I loved where he was going through, like, was that 144 billion different universes?
Yeah.
And he goes, we won. Is any time that we won? And he goes, once.
Wow.
And how he makes that, like, self-sacrifice and stuff. The fact that he acts like he has no compassion for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
When it turns out...
And then he ends up saving Tony.
Yeah. And I thought Iron Man was going to die. I literally thought he was going to die.
Oh, the swerve was great. Because it was him or Captain America, and it was neither.
Yeah.
So kudos to them for one, keeping the secret. Because you know how hard it is to do that in this day and age, to keep many secrets, and they did all that they can, including the trailer, including, like, just finding out who's gonna die. I mean, they really did a great job. So it left us in suspense of the whole entire thing. We knew nothing but knew everything at the same time.
One person I would say was very underwhelming, though. Don Cheadle.
Yeah, it was.
he really, like, one minute...
and ironically, the one that stayed alive.
How the Sokovia Accords are this big thing in Captain America Civil War, and then within one fell swoop, he's like, yeah, forget that now, we need their help, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like... Okay.
He's not hard to you know, change his mind. That's kind of like
they literally crippled you, but fine, you know.
I'm just mad he didn't go to he went to Wakanda and didn't and they didn't look at him like, we can do better.
Yeah. It's like, oh, you're that way, it's fine.
Yeah. One surprise for me.
What was that?
I thought he did a really good job, especially since he was replacing someone, was Ross Marquand, as Red Skull.
As Red Skull?
Yeah, he literally sounded like Hugo Weaving.
He did.
I literally thought that was Hugo Weaving on the screen. And then I'm sitting there going, looking at Hugo Weaving's IMDb, I went, okay, he wasn't in this. And then, who is this guy? And then I just looked at it and went... Oh, it was a different actor.
Look,
and they looked nothing alike.
I was just extremely happy to see him, because for the longest time, I've told people that he did not die. He disappeared in that Tesseract. He did not die. And I had predictions. I had a guess prediction.
You did. I remember.
Remember that? I was like, he's going to be on Infinity Wars. Boom.
Yeah, I like the fact they've given him that kind of unseen role where
it was short and sweet.
Tethered. Yeah, he's literally tethered to the planet. He can't move from there.
Mm-hmm.
He has all this knowledge and you can't do anything with it.
Right.
So it really worked. It helped develop the character a bit more. And it's the fact that they brought him back was the best idea they could have had.
Which was funny, too, because it was CGI, so Hugo could have done it. And one of his biggest complaints was that being in that mask and that stuff, because they could easily CGI him now.
Yeah. But the fact is, like, even though Hugo Weaving was really good, the fact that they brought the Red Skull back means that there's an element of, I call it Chekhov's gun. It's a term used in theater where if you bring something in, eventually that element is going to be used to trigger something else.
Absolutely. Could be. And they are talking about, you know, doing the next generation of movies too after this. So it can easily bring them back. And I'm looking forward to it now, because he should not have been going in the first place. But the fact that they brought him back gives me hope for the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Possibly wishful thinking on that one, but it was awesome to see him. It was those little things. This is what made Marvel so great throughout all these years, definitely. Did you have any other standouts other than Red Skull, Meg?
Everybody. Chris Hemsworth did a great job. I mean, everyone did just... one felt... I'm trying to find the best way of putting it. It felt like a team movie. It didn't feel like there was one star.
No, wasted motion.
People who had bigger parts, but it didn't feel like anyone was taking over or
even in Baku,
superfluous. Like it feels like everyone was there for a purpose.
Even in Baku and Oya and the rest of the cast of Black Panther that was in there, they felt valued.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, no one was upstaging or chewing the scenery at all. Yeah.
No, not at all.
And that it made for this amazing balance of a movie. And that's what it was. It was the balance of the acting that made it so powerful. At least to me, it made it so compelling.
It was so funny.
And the chemistry that worked between the other actors as well. Right. Everybody, you could tell everyone was familiar with everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
When there was tension, you could see the tension.
Right.
When there were like... people joking around and saying comedic things, you could laugh because it was like people were getting taken out of their comfort zone.
Right.
Nothing was forced. And that's what I think was the best thing about this movie. Everything had a purpose and every person had a role to play.
I'll tell you what, man, Civil War was definitely the prelude to what we'd expect. And I said back then, I was like, how are you going to top this?
You still had that flip phone.
Exactly.
Oh, Cap.
Oh, my goodness. But then also, the collaborations, too, was great, too. Like, who are your favorite collaborations in this movie? Meg, I'll go with you on that one.
Oh, I want to go Peter Quill and Spider-Man when they keep riffing off each other. I love when he's like, oh, like Footloose. He's like, you know, yeah. Kevin Bacon? Earth's Mightiest Hero?
Yeah, right.
And, you know, yeah.
Is Kevin Baker an Avenger? He could be.
He's like, he could be. I haven't been there in a while and anything's changed.
he calls him Flash Gordon. And like, yes. I love that. There and they talk about aliens. I love that they bring up all that, like,
oh my god, remember that really old movie? Oh, he was really great doing the references, man. I thought they were great.
and I really loved Rocket and Thor.
Yes,
I mean even at one point when Rocket met up with Winter Soldier, mm-hmm. He was like, how much for that gun? How much for that arm? But they do that twirling shooting thing that he did with Groot.
Oh, that was awesome.
So, I mean, that was really cool. Like, yeah. I liked that team up, too.
I did like what he's like, I'll take it later. We're going to sleep.
Exactly.
And he gives Chris Hemsworth the eye.
Oh, the eye.
Like, oh, I would have washed that off before I put it in there.
That was it, yeah.
Oh my goodness. And he didn't finish what he was saying too. That was the funny part.
I love, you know what, the one thing that made me chuckle so much was Teenage Groot.
Oh yes. With that damn, what was it, Defenders game that he was playing?
Yeah, he was playing Defender, yeah. And literally is like, Groot, are you listening? Groot, are you listening to me? And then he just goes, I am Groot. He's like, did you hear that? Do you hear the way he's talking to me? I was cracking up.
All of them, too. All of them, I think, understood him at this point. He's like, whoa, hey, hey.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I loved it. What about you, Burhead? What was your favorite collaborations?
There were so many. Like, yeah. I enjoyed between them, like, Thanos and Gamora. I loved looking at the relationship between the two of them and their story together and how heartbreaking it was. I loved, like, my favorites of the team ups had to be like between Tony Stark, Iron Spider, and the Guardians,
mm-hmm.
and Strange, because no one knew who they were. Everyone was trying to fight one another, mm-hmm. and he goes, "Where's Thanos?" They're like, "Where's Thanos? Wait, what? You're looking for Thanos too?
Exactly.
Who are you?" You know, and it was just brilliant because everybody knew, like, everyone was kind of bouncing off each other really well. And right. It was just a really, really great ensemble cast. I even liked the stuff in Wakanda as well. But at the same time, that was more kind of uber serious.
Yeah.
Mm. As towards when they were on, Thanos' planet, it was more kind of comedic.
Yeah,
in a sense, because they were making fun of the situation. Even though Tony was trying to make everybody like band together,
yeah, right.
You had like Peter and Peter and Peter basically just going on about their fandoms and stuff. And it was really for me. This seemed like, if I could attest this movie to anything, I would literally attest it to the Lord of the Rings movies, like the Two Towers.
That's a big one.
Yeah, you know when they have that big event where you have all the orcs fighting all mm-hmm. the elves and everything, and that's literally what it felt like, because you had everybody going and trying to give everything they had to stop this big threat.
That was, to me, like, that was, you say Lord of the Rings, that was, to me, was like, I guess the Empire Strikes Back scenes too, when they were fighting mm-hmm. a big I always forget what the hell those big machines
were.
Yeah, the camel.
AT-T.
Yeah.
AT-T.
Yeah, so yeah, it was one of those scenes. And the scene that, you know, Peter referenced on Civil War. So it was like, it felt like that big moment too. But Lord of the Rings is definitely a absolutely great example too.
Yeah, it just basically, in terms of this movie, it hit all the beats, did nothing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I was at the edge of my seat watching the entirety of it. I've never been so engrossed in a Marvel movie like I have been with this one.
Yeah, I mean, it met the hype big time. Me, I guess it'll definitely be Spider-Man, basically. But Spider-Man, Iron Man, Doctor Strange dynamic was always great, especially more or less... Spider-Man and you know, Iron Man, because we've followed them from Civil War to Homecoming, so you got to see him grow and prove himself to be an Avenger and to have, you know, him get the opportunity for Tony to knight him as an Avenger at that point.
Yeah, that was hilarious. He's like, you're now an Avenger.
He just chopped his shoulder. and the look on you know, Peter's face, because, you know, on Homecoming, that was his whole deal. Yeah. It was that he was striving to really be an Avenger, and he finally got it. They pulled the trigger. They gave it to us, and the look in his face was just, you know, the satisfaction in his face was great.
Oh, I love the fact that when they messed with when they were messing with Bruce, mm-hmm. when they met T'Challa, and he's like, he's king, you need to bow. And
yes!
Like, what are you doing? We don't do that here.
I love that. What was it? It was Don Cheadle ribbing him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Rhodey ribbing him. I'm like, you know, that's a black thing.
Yeah.
he totally ribbed him on purpose. I'm like, that.
That was amazing.
He was like, no, we don't do that here.
Yeah, it's because Bruce was such a nerd. That's why everyone always like riffs him, even though he's like, the dude's been off the planet for ages, and then everyone just starts riffing him again. You know,
Mark Ruffalo has come in so much into his own as Bruce Banner. It's such a great. I love this very nervous version of him and comedic version of, because now he's like, I mean, he's the Hulk, but as Bruce Banner, he's Krillin.
Yeah.
In a sense.
I love it when he like wears that big, huge like Iron Man armor, and he's like, "I'll just do it myself." Yeah.
Oh my goodness! But I loved it, and again, yeah, everybody coming together in Wakanda was probably my favorite scene as well too. It was great. It was that peak moment of the movie where everything was going down, and you got to still see how powerful Wakanda is. And I'm glad that they didn't. I swore down they were going to destroy that whole entire country, and I'm glad they didn't. Yeah. I'm so glad they didn't.
I thought we'd get an Olympics or a Starbucks.
Yes.
This is not what I meant.
I love her so much. I you know, it's so, we said this before when we did the Black Panther review, but she's so much better as this character than she is as Michonne. And I love her as Michonne, but this one just comes out. It's so much more powerful. Oh, man. All right, we'll get to that in a minute. Let's just go to the favorite scenes, too, because I'll segue right into that. The scene with her, Scarlet Witch, and Black Widow fighting together was awesome.
Yeah, the girl power going on there.
Definitely the girl power going on over there. But when Scarlet Witch came out, and then she was like, wait, you did that, you had these powers, and you stayed in the back all and she wiped out all the tank machines that was running them over. She's like, you stayed in there the whole entire time. She was pissed. She was absolutely pissed, man. But, yeah, that was one. I think, to me, the other one was the beginning that just started directly. Because I've been watching since January. Somebody, you know, somebody posted out that if you watch all 17 movies, you know, with Black Panther coming out and everything, all 17 movies for one each week, that it'll end exactly at the week of Infinity Wars. And damn if it did. And I watched Thor Ragnarok up and, you know, fully in credits and everything, and then to watch this movie and it start immediately, like probably like a few minutes after they just saw the ship, was amazing. I love that. I love that they just wasted no time with that. Seeing Spider-Man and the Iron Spider suit, of course, was my favorite. Vision and Scarlet fighting in London was also great too. We didn't talk about those four minions. I forgot who the hell they were. You got, because I know they're in the comic books too.
The Dark Order,
especially because the scene where Doctor Strange is getting tortured, that was a scene from an actual book. Am I correct?
Yeah, it's Corvus Glaive, Proxima Midnight, Cull Obsidian, and Ebony Maw.
Correct.
And they're the children of Thanos.
Ebony Maw was the one who was basically.
Yeah, they kept calling him Squidward.
Yes. Yeah. That was awesome.
He was the one that was basically torturing Strange.
Right.
The one thing I didn't like about the fact was they literally depowered these guys.
Yeah.
They weren't at the at the level they are in the comic books, they would have decimated everybody.
Right. Well, but that's the thing, you had to, because it would have been.
Yeah.
I mean, the big point was Thanos and the Infinity Gauntlet. And you know, you can't have that and then him do that big scene and it's like, okay, what was the point? They already killed everybody anyway. So they I mean, remember, and again, we gotta remember, this is their universe, so it's like in the comic books, like the Infinity Gauntlet is powerful in the 616, but you take that in the Ultimate Universe, it might not be as powerful.
Yeah.
You gotta kinda take it in stride on this too.
It won't work.
Yeah. So yeah. I took it. Sometimes I take it in that sense, in that perspective too. You know, you guys mentioned Thanos and Gamora. That was a man. That was the most Godfather gangster scene I've ever saw.
Yeah, I like the fact that he like held her and got her to play with the knife while
yes.
the village was being assassinated. I just sat there and I was like, wow, that's kind of the fact that he didn't want to expose her.
Yes,
to
it was.
Yeah. It was kind of sweet, but very like sick at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole like the bit with the Soul Stone as well. Dude.
I got annoyed with her at that point, though, because she tried to have Peter kill her,
right?
And she's like, "Oh, you're not gonna do anything. You're not gonna. He has no soul. He has."
Yeah,
no
she
feelings.
Went a little bit too far, and then when Red Skull was like, "No, he's actually in mourning," and she figured out like,
drags her. Like she could have run and like you were gonna sacrifice yourself anyway, bitch. Just run and jump and kill yourself,
right?
He doesn't get the soul
because
stone.
Don't sound like she was like kind of like. On a bitch mode real quick when she figured it out. She's like, no, you can't love me. That's not right. You're not playing right. That's what it kind of sounded like to her.
She always saw him as a soulless, evil human being. And then to realize that he loved her like his own daughter.
In a sick way.
It's more shocking because she's sitting there going, no, it couldn't have been.
It really did feel like she was definitely the Lady Death of this movie because this was the type of affection that he had for Lady Death, only he didn't kill Lady Death.
He was in love with Lady Death.
I would say infatuated.
He loved her like a parent loved their child. Yeah.
I would say infatuated because he ended up making his own chick after that. he was like, screw you, I got this chick. She's doing everything I want to do. So at that point. So that'd be interesting to see if he kind of makes his own daughter in the second movie too.
Well, this is the thing. The Infinity Gauntlet itself is destroyed. Like, the gem's still there, but the gauntlet itself is broke because you had this huge burnt mark all over the gauntlet.
Right.
So
we'll see.
You know, I've got a funny feeling the gauntlet that was in...
Yeah.
The chamber where Thor went to go and get the new
was actually the real deal.
The collectors.
Yeah.
Well, not the collectors one.
The one that was in Ragnarok.
Yeah.
Where she was like fake.
I think that they've made a secondary gauntlet so that they can use those gems, but they're gonna have to get the gems.
Everyone has two hands. Why would they only make one gauntlet?
Was that by the way, was that... I gotta go back and watch Ragnarok again. Was that a left or a right gauntlet?
I think it was a right.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the case, you may have something there.
No, but you know where he gets Stormbreaker made? There was another gauntlet there as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they did have it. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so I've got a funny feeling that's going to have something to do with it. Dinklage, by the way.
Giant
dwarf Dinklage.
Yeah, exactly. That was awesome. That was the best.
And another guy who's been in an X-Men movie and been in a good Marvel movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. He's like, I made what he wanted, a device that would harness the power of the stones, and he cut off my hands!
Yeah, and it was great to see him on air, man. I absolutely loved it. But also, and then, of course, to me, the snapping of the fingers and the end of it all. Woo!
But we've got like a smoking gun right now with Vision because he could
come back.
Chekhov's gun. They said that they could split his like mind from the stone because he had three different brain patterns. The stone was one.
Right.
His Bruce's was the other, and Tony's was the other one. So I've got a funny feeling that what they, because you know they're in Wakanda, of course. That,
right.
They cured Forrest Whitaker's eye. So. It's literally what they did. You see the poster. The guy looks like he looks freaking like he had plastic surgery or something.
Looks like he's looking into one direction.
He's looking in one direction, exactly. Not the band.
He is a Zayn fan, but everyone is.
Right.
Yeah, I think Zayn is insane.
Anyway. God.
Back to my point, because I was trying to make a point at some point. The fact that they've left that Vision half like dead, like he's just like laying on the floor.
Right.
I think Wakanda, they're going to fix him up. He's going to be good as new, and he'll be one of the main catalyst in Thanos' downfall in the next movie. Because this is one thing. This is the one thing, one problem I have with this movie is the fact that we have to wait another year to see the sequel.
It could be worse. It could be 2 years. They're doing a Matrix thing, so I'm not mad at this. What I'm interested in is are they going to put, you know, how are they going to top this? Two, you know, because the Wachowskis did this before and it didn't meet to expectations.
Yes, but the Wachowskis was due to the studio pressuring them to do it. That's why there was nothing set in stone.
Right.
With this, it was all set in stone.
Right.
There's
a plan. There's always been a plan. It all connects, damn it.
I like what Hannibal said in the A-Team. He loves it when a plan comes together.
Yeah, exactly. So that was my major thing. I mean, before I get to you guys, we'll all talk about that end scene. But before we do talk about that, let's Meg, what was some of your favorite scenes in the movie?
Everything.
I mean, granted, yes. there is really not one best.
There is no good time to pee.
No, it's not. This should be the tagline for next year.
Avengers Infinity War. There is no good time to pee.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, they'll be on the posters, like, 5 stars, Megan Walsh. There is no good time to pee.
No, like in the commercial, like the trailer commercials and all the stuff. Megan Walsh gives it 5 stars. There is no time to pee.
There is no good time to pee. I mean, there were so many. I mean, I honestly, all the Peter Quill and Peter Parker stuff.
Yeah.
I just all of it. My theater clapped so many times. Mm-hmm. Like when Cap appeared in Scotland, at my entire theater, like, freaked out.
Wait, like actually appeared?
When he was at the scene.
Okay.
Yeah, when Vision was getting the crap beaten out of him.
Yeah.
And all
the troops came in.
Yeah. And like everyone, and he was on the other side of the track. Everyone was like, "Wow!" Like freaking out. And that, I think that was the moment for me that I was like, "Oh, I'm so excited!" Like that kind of. I mean, everything was really on point in the beginning. You know.
Right.
Tony and the wedding and
oh right, that's right. I forgot about that part.
Stark raving mad, his Ben and Jerry's.
Yeah, which by the way, I got a feeling that's going to be true. And if that is, I got one right up. You know, I got one right up the street. So
oh yeah,
I'll head right up there.
I did laugh when they started going on with like Avengers flavors of Ben and Jerry's. Which one was their favorite?
Dude, yeah. I'm telling you, that's not just a coincidence that they did that. I think that there may be a real one coming.
Yeah,
I did laugh when Wong, he was like, "How much money do you have, Wong?" And Wong's like, "I have like 200. How much is that in American?
25. He's like 200 rupees, yeah.
And he invites Wong to his wedding because he chopped off that dude's arm.
Yes.
When he makes like he splinches the guy.
Also, no, we talk about Captain America too. Do you remember him and Thor? And Thor was like, "Hey, you got a beard like me now."
Yeah, he's like, "Hey, your hair's like me." He's like, "Hey, you've got a beard like me."
It's so great.
That moment when Thor arrives in Wakanda and just blows shit up. He gets the Bifrost, and he's like, "Nope, no." And then Thanos is like, "You should have aimed for the head." You're like, "Oh, shit."
I know.
It's like,
yeah, he just gets that thing and he just snaps it and Thor's face, man. I was beautiful, like, "Oh my God."
Beautiful, beautiful moment, man. Because it was the moment I was waiting for too, because that's the pivotal moment of the books. And it just happened just like that. And it was like, wow. You couldn't even take it all in as it just happened. And then he goes into his, you know, whatever that was that he went into. Mm-hmm. And then after he came out, people just started going. And it was, oh my God! Can we talk about how that made you feel when you saw all of that?
I felt a second, I couldn't take a breath, man. It's like losing like your friends. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like when you find out like someone that you're not that close to, but they passed on. You're like, "Oh man, that sucks."
Made you regret like the times you could have spent.
Yeah.
Well, Rhodey walking around going, "Falcon, where are you?" And you're like, "Oh, he doesn't know."
Right.
The worst one that has to again have to shoot it in is Peter.
It's Peter.
Like, yeah. Literally was like, I don't want to go. I don't want to die. I don't want to go, Mr. Stark. And you just see Tony's face. And I'm like, oh my God.
How can you not? Like, how can you deny Tom Holland as Spider-Man after this point?
Yeah. Anybody who didn't cry and who thinks that that was a terrible scene, they literally have no soul. These people need to just hide under a rock somewhere.
What was really great about this scene is because, if you've read the comic books, you don't really get to see it in motion or how these people disappeared. Because they just disappeared. No, in this, they disintegrated.
Yeah.
That is way worse.
Like my best mate was saying to me, she goes, the one thing I didn't like was the fact that Black Panther died. And I was like, yeah.
But you know what? I hated it. And I hated that they took out both people who we know they're going to have, you know, sequel movies.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it was brilliantly done because you know how much everybody loves you. Let's take the people. How much better of an emotion?
Basically, everyone that was going to continue, they removed them from the board and they kept the old guard.
Right.
Which is interesting. And these are people who've got their contracts have run out.
Right.
Know, they're the guys that basically are going to finish.
Right. So, it made sense. It made sense for them to do this, and it brought better emotion out of people. Like, one, to be like, oh my God, they actually took away T'Challa? That was one thing.
Yeah.
And then to see Spider-Man, which tells you how much of a big deal Spider-Man is by having such a scene like that and how people really reacted to that. Yeah. It truly blew my mind. I was like, and as a fan, I was like, you know what? They did it, and I you know what? I have no words. Yeah. It just happened.
I expected something like this to happen, but I expected it to happen to the old guard, but not the new guys. And then everyone. But you know, with Peter, when Peter disappeared, I was like, yeah, you deserve it, idiot.
Dick.
Yeah. Right. So
you
ruined
everything, Peter. Your own fault. God, dissipate.
Everything.
Yeah. So don't fade to nothing. Don't come back.
Which he will, unfortunately. Because he also has a movie scheduled. So, Easter eggs and surprises, real quick. Of course, we talk about Red Skull returning. That was a huge one. Peter Dinklage coming in as Atri. Total. That was a great surprise. Absolutely great. Both Red Skull and him, and the great part about it was just him being a giant. There was the irony and significance of that. I thought that played very well.
The little person being a giant.
Yes. for once, he gets vindication. So let's take note. We can't talk about anything without seeing our, you know, of course, Stan Lee cameo, him in the bus as the bus driver.
I love that. I just laugh.
Which, by the way,
what's the matter with you kids? Have you ever seen a spaceship before?
Exactly. Peter Dinklage. Peter's friend also. I like to call him Genki because he looks just like Genki from the Ultimate series. He looks uncanny, and I like how he did a diversion of people so Peter could get out. He's like, "We're all gonna die!"
Can you distract them from me? We're all gonna die. And then I'm running for the fucking bus.
That was so awesome. So I mean that Stormbreaker, of course, which we know is Beta Ray Bill's, or supposed to be Beta Ray Bill's actual weapon.
Yeah.
But that was awesome that they did it.
In this universe, it's not.
Of course.
And also, he wore the Ultimate Four outfit.
Absolutely.
So that was that too. Tony Stark's nanites, which basically
the Extremis.
They're supposed to be the bleeding. It's the Bleeding Edge armor.
Yeah.
So that was great. I love that shield. Like, that was a homage to Marvel vs. Capcom.
Yes, it was. Oh, also, now that you said that too, his cannons in the back was also a homage to the game too, because you know he does that move when he flies up top and spurts that out. So that was really great too.
Hopefully that would inspire Capcom to make a good Marvel vs. Capcom game.
You would think. Now, granted, I still play it just for the hell of it, but
with actual Infinity Gems, not Infinity Eggs.
Yeah, you know. That's not Marvel Studios' fault, unfortunately. But hey, that's budgeting. That's straight budgeting. I can't wait till somebody actually does a replica of those things, because I really do want them. I really do want the gems for myself. They actually I forgot which store it is, but I may be getting this. There is a geek shop online that is selling the actual like a class ring version of the Infinity Gauntlet with the stones on there. It actually looks pretty damn cool. I'll post it on a Facebook group, but it's $50 too, so it's like, all right.
Ooh.
And it's coming out, it's like, I think they gotta make it at your right size, and I gotta figure out my size and everything, so yeah, it's coming out. They'll have it to you by July or June or something like that. I'm putting myself in more faith in online shopping lately. So.
Me too, just because I'm lazy.
I had one bad situation with a shop, but then this other one that I've now been going to, has been really good, and the shipping has been on time, even though they're from another country or whatever like that. They don't have problems going with customs and everything, and it came on time, so I'm really good with them. Mm. So I think it's called Mercoid or something like that.
Oh, Mercoid.
Yeah,
I know those.
That's where I got my arm gauntlet from, and I think I got something else from them too. As well, but yeah, they've been really good. Oh, it was the PlayStation sweater that I got from them, and I got it right before Christmas, so I fully committed to those guys.
Yeah, there's a Pac-Man suit I want from there, so I'm thinking I'll actually
buy it. They got a lot of cool stuff.
Like $100.
Mm-hmm. A lot of cool stuff. Any other things that we missed Easter egg-wise? Meg, did you find anything?
I'm trying to think. Well, I don't think there was anything else that I had Easter egg wise.
Yeah.
Other than, well, I kind of went into a bunch of them. They were all, when what was it? When Tony and Pepper were talking about names and they talk about Morgan.
Mm.
Because it's like, oh, like there really is a Morgan Stark, but it's not Tony's kid. It's just, I think it's his uncle.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
I was hoping. I'm like, please don't say Riri. I was like, do yeah,
that
not.
Girl needs to, that girl needs a lot more development before she goes anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. Mm. Hopefully they'll. We've been saying that for quite a while, but they had a good start. I'm still keeping faith on that series.
I would rather see Miles than I'd see Riri.
Oh yeah, most definitely.
I totally forgot about this one part. When they went to nowhere. And they were at the collector's shop. And
oh, yes.
Showed, it was Tobias Bluth.
Oh, my God.
Development.
Yes, you're right.
they had a man all blue in jean shorts. That was exciting. That was like a real random. Because it really was. If you look at the credits, they thanked Fox for use of a character
in
Arrested Development, and you're like, what?
Well, technically, they own Fox.
Well, now. Yeah, they kind of do. But yeah, that's insane. Yeah,
like it was silly.
Surprisingly, no Howard the Duck yet. Scenes either yet, but would it be funny if he was the one that actually defeats?
No, Squirrel Girl.
Just think, Squirrel Girl defeated Thanos, and all these heroes couldn't do it.
It's because she's so cute; you can't tell.
Yeah, right.
She's freakishly strong as well.
Mm-hmm. Right. Did you find anything else, Burhan? Anything that we missed?
Going through my eidetic memory right now.
I feel like it's going to take us to watch it like maybe two or three more times to really
take
it all in.
Yeah, again on Wednesday just to see if I can pick anything else.
It's a must. It's a must.
They did allude to like Hawkeye and Ant-Man where which is good. So it helps kind of bounce off. I've got a funny feeling when they do those because next year we're going to have a few more Marvel movies. I think Ant-Man and the Wasp, is that next year or is that?
No, that's July.
That's July, so yeah. So what's going to happen? Apparently, that's going to be kind of separate to this.
Well, I think they're still going to be connected.
No, it'll be connected, but it'll be like the event will be separate because while this is going on, he's going to be on the Microverse.
Right.
So it could leave it open for him to come in on the fifth one. But they literally.
He is because there were shots of them filming and he was in there. Him and Hawkeye. I think Hawkeye was in there too.
Yeah, he's dressed as what's his name though?
Ronan.
He's not dressed in his regular Hawkeye stuff.
What is he, Ronan?
Oh, no, he's Ronan.
Yeah, so, I mean, there were already shots of them. Yeah, in fact, isn't that movie almost done?
Yeah.
No, it's wrapped.
Yeah, it's wrapped, so they just pretty much got to do all the editing, yada, yada, yada. And we still don't know the name, of course, right now.
Yeah, because Chris Evans came out recently on Twitter and said that he's done now. Mm-hmm. His scenes are done. He's done his pickups. Yeah. And he like thanked everybody, including Marvel, because he said he's not coming back.
Right. I mean,
which is sad.
Well, no, it's been already been said that it's his last ring. So
yeah.
But
I can see why, though.
Yeah.
He's done.
He's done. No, and not only is he done, but he's done a phenomenal. It's not even just a great job. I mean, you talk about a guy from way back when he did Fantastic Four, and say what you will about that movie. He was a great Johnny Storm in that movie, and there's a reason why they picked him out of the litter. And surprisingly, he took on the helm of being the guy, and nobody knew
he was going to do it as well. Like he said that he just really wasn't. He didn't want to play another superhero character, but then he was convinced by his agent to go in and do it, and he did it. And nobody could touch him as Captain America.
And nobody could touch him as Johnny Storm either. I'm sure he noticed that after watching the recent Fantastic Four movie. So he probably looked at
Dan Forstick.
He like, I did a great job. So, I mean, yeah, you know, kudos to him. He's done phenomenal. And, you know, we don't realize it, but his movies have been so important to the entire series.
I think his trilogy of movies are probably the best trilogy of movies in all MCU. Yeah.
Absolutely. And the funny thing is, like, people don't really focus him as the main dude or the main movies, but, yeah, his movies have been very pivotal to the direction of where you know, the Avengers is going, where the universe is going. It's been crazy. It's been great.
And he's the only character that's actually had a dynamic shift.
Yeah.
In comparison. Like, I would have loved to see him, like, continue and let them to have some semblance of the... Do you know the Hydra Captain America?
Yeah.
I would have loved to have seen that.
Oh.
You know.
Him try to pull that off? That was
Stan Lee was not happy about that.
I kind of because they at that point they went everywhere with that story and comic book wise, they really dropped the ball.
I loved that comic, but I think it was at a time, and I remember Rob from Comics Explained was explaining this. He said that the issue was that Marvel fans were suffering from burnout, and because they had too many events.
Too many sagas. Too many damn sagas every year.
There was Axis, Avengers versus X-Men. There was all this crap going on.
I mean, Secret Wars and Civil War 2 wasn't bad.
The universe. Right. Secret Wars was supposed to reboot.
Right.
But they didn't. They just went there.
Exactly. And then Secret Wars actually was a good saga, but their timeline, they were trying to do what I call the Tarantino timeline effect, and it didn't work out the way that they want to. And then, followed by, they spoiled the results at the end, before it ever came, before it ever ended. So they really, I thought they dropped the ball writing-wise with that. But, going back to, you know, Chris Evans, he's done it. He's done more than enough to retire at this point in this case, so... Let's talk about the end credits, and then I want to go to predictions with you guys for the next movie right there. You know, all of us, we weren't getting up because after that one, we were speechless. Two, people were at it all. And I felt like myself, if I didn't see some vindication or some retribution at the end, you know, I was going to be very pissed. And then here we go. We got Nick Fury and Agent Hill, you know, Kobe Smolder. I love this woman. And I'm like, oh, all right, bet. They brought them back. And no, they
start disappearing.
They killed both of them.
I'm like, come on, man. I couldn't take, and just seeing more and more superheroes do it. I thought this was going to be the end of that. No, they kept going. But with that said, it was a great scene. They start seeing, you know, cars crash. They saw the helicopter go down. Really chaos going on. They disappeared. And he immediately went to his beeper. And all of a sudden, I like the way he went out, though. He was like,
"Yeah,
whoa,
mother."
Exactly. And lo and behold, he drops. It's sending. We're hoping it's sing. It did send. Boom. Red, blue, and a star in the middle. And people in the theater, my theater, was like, who's that? I'm like, oh, crap.
Steven turns to my boyfriend turns to me and goes, you should have worn your Captain Marvel shirt.
That was an awesome scene, and I was like, thank you. That one little scene helped me feel a lot better about what I just saw. Because it was just like, it was depressing the hell out of me, but that was, I mean, this movie brought out so much emotion. So it's pretty evident we're going to see Captain Marvel in the second movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and as I said, I'm kind of waiting with bait. I'm just sitting there going, if I could sleep, maybe I can sleep through the rest of the year and then just, like, you know, get to the movie already.
Right.
I'm impatient like that. But it's it really did what it was supposed to do, and it left me at the edge of my seat. So I'm very, very happy. And the fact that they allowed Samuel Jackson to do Samuel Jackson, like he went out as he started,
absolutely
cussing like a sailor. So yeah, I'm happy with it.
Yeah.
It was a really, really good end credit scene.
Yeah.
But I was literally like just, I was stunned silent. There's nothing else I could say about this movie. I'm hoping that the fourth movie lives up to expectation.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I'm worried about. That this has been so big that the next movie does not meet the standard of this one.
Right. That's what I kept saying. I'm like, how the hell are they going to top this? But I said the same thing as Civil War.
Yeah.
Too. And at the same time, I'm like, how are they going to make Thanos the biggest villain of all the villains that we've seen in 10 years? They did it. So I'm not saying I'm not going to overhype myself, but I have immense confidence.
I have more faith in this than I do in the next Star Wars movie.
I concur. Yeah. I concur. Yeah, that dude that looked like Kelso.
Yeah, look, I remember my best mate was like, they did the Solo story trailer during before the movie started, and she was like, why is he trying to pull out a bad impression of Harrison Ford? And I was like, yeah.
Not only that, somebody, I don't know if y'all saw the meme. And I hate to reference this because of the recent trial, but somebody said that Donald Glover's shirt looks exactly like the Gordon Cottrell shirt from The Cosby Show.
Oh, my God.
And they put up the shirt right next to what that Theo was wearing. I'm like, holy damn.
Do you notice, though, that they've shifted promoting the main guy who's playing Han Solo to Donald Glover?
It really felt like the trailer made it more like a Donald Glover movie than anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, it made me laugh because it reminds me of, like, you know that bit in WWE programming where they have Paige sitting there going, oh,
yes,
this is my new movie.
Yes!
And we've got The Rock in it. Don't you know we have The Rock?
Yeah, that's exactly right. You're right. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
It's kind of like Donald Glover. See, it's Han Solo, but with Donald Glover.
Yeah.
Who's playing Lando Calrissian?
We got
Donald Glover.
We got Jedi Gambino. So yeah, I'm so uberly excited. The great part about, again, that one little scene is that we didn't know if Captain Marvel was going to be a part of this movie, because they were so out of loop. They kept saying that she was going to be a standalone movie from, you know, the 90s, and it was going to be you know, it was going to be that. She apparently is going to play the part, possibly. I'm going to predictions now. My prediction, she's playing the part of Adam Warlock for this movie. Who else are they going to have to be the one to save it all?
And that's the thing, is they introduced Adam Warlock in the initial Guardians movie.
No, so it's going to be so weird, but it is what it is.
They're not going to show him until the third one, though, from what I've read.
That's the aim.
That's crap.
It is crap, because, I mean, we all know that, you know, for those of us who read, he's the one that's, you know, one that's supposed to be in the soul gem. Two, he's the one that's stopping us all, but apparently that's not the case. And again, we didn't know that Captain Marvel was going to be in the next movie. Who's to say that he's not going to be in this movie? So we don't. Anything can happen at this point.
Yeah, I agree with you. The one thing I will say is they're going to do all these movies to set up the next one.
Yeah.
So you're going to find out where Ant-Man's been.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to basically like see the Captain Marvel movie. I think the Captain Marvel movie is it before? Or is it
after? Before.
It's before. It's before all this.
So you've got that coming up as well. So we get to see these characters that are going to be introduced in the fourth movie afterwards. So they'll all be established. They'll be there. We get to find out where Hawkeye is. Like, where's Hawkeye?
It is so funny that people are saying that, because, you know, he never was in the original book anyway. He was one of the characters that disappeared.
You know what makes me laugh about it even more is the fact that when people kept going, where's Hawkeye, it reminds me of that Simpsons episode where Homer's playing Poochie. And then he goes, the other thing I think is, when Poochie's not on camera, everyone stands up and goes, where's Poochie?
Right. Oh my goodness. You know?
So I should do a meme of Hawkeye coming in going, I'm going back to my home planet. and then he just like flies up in the
air. Hey, Hawkeye, you sound like you got something to say. Do you? Yeah.
Hawkeye died on the way to his home planet.
He just, and like frame, just like still frames, just him just going up.
Exactly. I'm probably going to do that. I'm good with Photoshop. I'll just like whip something up. But it's, you know, I'm glad for what's going to be happening. This is how DC, take note. This is how you do a cinematic universe. I know you're probably kicking yourselves right now, but this is how you do it. And like without the individual movies and the stuff that came before it, I don't think Infinity War would have been as powerful as it is now.
Absolutely not. But, you know, and again, we talked about this. We, you know, from 2008, we saw Iron Man. We thought that was a one-off. At the end, the first ever end credit scene, we saw Nick Fury, and we saw that they were going to attempt to do the Avengers. We made it up to the Avengers. And it's definitely been a journey up to this point, the journey of going through all these movies leading up to the Avengers, and it paid off. And then we thought that was the end off there. We see, get our next end credit, it's Thanos. And we're like, holy crap, they're actually going to do it. Then throughout the next few years, we're going through this, and it just gets better and better and better. And we finally made it up to this point, and then it paid off so well. It's just amazing. Now, here's the other thing, too, before I go to Meg, too. My prediction here, because a lot of people died. A lot of people died in this movie. Not leaving them nearly enough people to actually do. And I'm still saying, like, Captain Marvel may not still be enough to get at what we're doing. So I don't know how powerful she's going to be in this next movie or whatever. But this leaves room for a lot of new people. So I am predicting we may see some brand new faces. Now, where they're going to pull these people from, I don't know. It could be, I mean, a lot of people died. So there's enough people to leave a certain street level group of people in.
Yep.
There's enough to bring in some agents, some extra agents that are still around. There is enough to maybe some runaway kids. Who knows? There's a possibility here.
I do think we're probably going to see, like, if Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is ending with this season, you're going to probably see the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in that movie. Yeah. But again, they keep changing their mind like a kid with, like, ADD.
But, well, at least we think they are.
Yeah. Then, you know, I would love to see the street-level guys. I think the fact that they should mesh the Netflix shows with the movies should help. But it's all dependent on what they're kind of pursuing. I don't think we'll see the X-Men in this one.
No, definitely not.
I think we'll see the X-Men after. Yeah. I've got a funny feeling that,
as well as the Fantastic Four too, and Doctor Doom, Silver Surfer.
Yeah, I think the Nebula is going to get a hold of the gauntlet, and she's going to reverse everything.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly what she did in the book too. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think it's going to cost her own life when she does it.
That's an interesting take.
I think she's going to be, she's going to end up sacrificing herself to bring back everyone, including her sister.
Gamora, yeah. That's an interesting take. I like that.
I don't think Loki's going to come back.
Remember, because, all right, here's the deal. Remember, and I think this is going to be a testament from the books, too, is that they died before he got the full-on, you know, gems together. So they're super dead. I think it's going to reverse, because when Nebula took the gems in the book, she reversed everything 24 hours prior to everything that was done when he had the gauntlet. So in hindsight, everything within the book's timeline was 24 hours within, and everybody disappeared. So everybody wind up coming back together. I think the same thing's going to happen. So I think definitely Loki and Hemdall is going to be, and everybody that was in that ship is going to die.
It's going to stay dead. If Hemsworth stays on, we're going to see after the next movie, Thor will be on the journey to rebuild Asgard.
Yeah.
If who's left at Asgard? Everybody that was from Asgard was in that ship, though.
No, but I think, you know,
he's going to need to find the Dragon Balls.
If you see in the comics, they actually reincarnate everybody because the Asgardians end up falling. They die, but they end up being reincarnated on Earth. And then Thor ends up rebuilding Asgard,
which leads to fear itself at that point. Yeah. Correct? Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I'm thinking is going to happen. I think we're going to see Kid Loki if Thor continues.
Yeah. Yeah. True. Now, not only that, if Thor continues, because we haven't heard Chris Hemsworth say that he was going to be ending his term. If they do another Thor, I think they probably will dip into Fear itself. It's a possibility. I think it's a big possibility, because if they're going into the point of bringing, because they, that was the idea, and I thought that's where they were going to after Thor Ragnarok and saying we were going to Earth. I'm like, okay, this is the same thing that happened, and Tony's going to help rebuild it from that realm, and somehow, some way, and with Peter Dinklage, character in there now, and he's the guy that had different weapons and everything. There's a possibility that the other weapons that they find may come into it, and unfortunately, Red Skull's daughter will not be a part of it, but they'll find somebody else to fill that spot. I can see that happening as well, but and Cloak and Dagger's coming out too, by the way, very soon. So who knows?
I haven't heard good things about that. I heard there's been trouble on that one.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
We'll see. Well, I mean, look, the success rate of Marvel TV and movies has been really great, with the exception of one, and this might be two. I still say it's not a bad deal.
Oh, well, I'd say three. Two, actually.
You saying the Defenders?
The Defenders TV show wasn't that great.
It wasn't.
Iron Fist was like Tai Chi, the TV series.
Or Kung Fu.
Literally, it's just watching a guy do meditation stances for like hours.
Mm-hmm.
And then have people go bad for no reason. And then you had the Inhumans.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. So, yeah.
The TV show that was so bad that they're now killing them off.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that. Oh my goodness, I forgot about that. All right,
was an Iconomaster project.
Yeah. Technically, that'd be four then. Because, if Cloak and Dagger's as bad as what everybody thinking or saying, yeah, then that's four. That's one, it's Inhumans, that's
Defenders.
Defenders was okay, but I think the quality of, the special effects really fell off.
Well, apparently,
and the fight scenes, of course.
The Defenders was also the guy who wrote Iron Fist. The showrunner on that was also the showrunner on that one. So yeah. I think what I need to do is get this guy, take him into a corner, beat him with some bamboo sticks, and get him to come back in and go, right, better ideas.
My thing with that, and I've mentioned this before, I was like, how hard was it to get like the fight choreographer from like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, or Arrow?
Who did Daredevil.
Yeah, or Daredevil.
That was amazing.
Yeah. How hard was it? Or any of the Marvel movies that we saw. I mean, like, how hard was it to get that? Like, are you serious? Matter of fact, even Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s fight choreographer, because anytime Daisy gets in the scene, her fight scenes are really ridiculously good. It's like, it was amazing with that one. But, yeah, man, we got a year.
And I do agree with you. I think we'll see Coulson return. I think Coulson will be in Avengers.
Mm-hmm. I think, and if that's the case, if he does, I think we will get the biggest pop in the theater when we see him.
He deserves it.
Like, he absolutely deserves it. He was the glue that brought all this in, first of all. And and all that he's gone through, that dude's came up to be a hell of a great hero. And he deserves to come back, and they deserve to do that payoff. They have to. I think that's going to be the biggest secret. I think I will be one of the people to go off when I see him, if I see him in the theater. I kind of think it would be the only burn if they don't have him in there. They followed up on everything, and including the Red Skull at this point. So I see that. Meg, you got any predictions?
Yeah, you guys kind of went over all of the predictions. Defenders are joining. We're going to find out if any of the Defenders are gone via Luke Cage TV show coming out in June.
That's right.
I think we're going to find out some of the people who are left.
Yeah.
We're definitely getting a couple Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We're getting some Defenders in there.
And that's going to be interesting.
Anyone who's left is going to be fighting tooth and nail. Also, Matthew McConaughey has been hinting that he's going to have a big role in Marvel. And so help me God, if he's Adam Warlock, I will be pissed.
Oh my God, I will be so mad. You know what? I'm gonna be reserved for that just for a second.
You're beating his chest, going, oh.
Him driving a Lincoln in space. Well,
yeah. Hey, fair enough, man.
But no, you know what? I will be. If that's the case, I will understand your disdain for that. But I also will be hold my back on reserve, because Peter Gunn has done a great job, showing value on people that we didn't think that could pull it off. Like, for God's sakes, Dave Bautista. We never knew. if he could do what he did with Dave Bautista, I may think that he may be able to do good with him being Adam Warlock. I agree. I hope that it's not the case.
Have you seen him in the Dark Tower? That was terrible.
Stop it. Stop it. Well, I've also seen Michael B. Jordan in Fantastic Four, but we saw how he came out of that, so let's not give up hope on that.
That was a one-off. You know what?
if you watch Creed and everything else that Michael B. Jordan's been in, he's done nothing bad.
I understand, but you sometimes I see.
Bad Full Stick was just, yeah.
I always say that, and again.
Paycheck.
Yeah, and again, I always say, Peter Gunn is really good on comedy. So that, and we got to remember that this is a comedy, and he could possibly do it. I would rather see somebody else, absolutely, but I would still hold myself. I'll be reserved to wait because I've regained so much trust in what Peter Gunn has done for these movies. I mean, he made David Hasselhoff's never irrelevant, but still, he made. Come on. Look what he's done so far. So yeah,
most of what David Hasselhoff does is kind of a drinking problem. That's why, like, he's kind of like Charlie Sheen relevant at this point.
Well, Charlie Sheen is the new Ric Flair, so I mean. But yeah, man, it is definitely unbelievable. Last question before I go on to the comments, real quick. We always do this when we do Marvel movies. Where in the hell does this movie rank in your list of best of the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
Number one
is a unanimous. There's no way.
I've had people who'd be like, it's number three. I'm like, are you lying?
There were people in a Facebook post that said it was the best Avengers movie. I respect your decision on that. For me, I've watched every movie nonstop to this point. None of them made me feel the way that this felt.
Yeah, that's the thing, and also it was so much better than Age of Ultron.
Oh god, yeah.
Like, when Quicksilver died in Age of Ultron, people were just like, "Yeah, good riddance." We like the X-Men one better than you, anyway.
That is true. You know. That is very much true. But nonetheless, man, it was just. I mean, yeah, number one, it's no way. There's no way. The combinations, the impact, like you said, Megan, the emotions, the everything just had everything. Every drama, comedy. This is the ultimate movie. It's just literally.
I agree with you. It's literally like this movie is like having the most passionate lovemaking you've ever had. This is what Avengers Infinity War is.
Absolutely.
But you also get a bit of the rough stuff in there as well.
Yeah.
And then every other Marvel movie is like the ex-girlfriend who was just really bad in bed.
Yeah.
Like, no. This movie is the pleasure central. The rest of you are just like, you were good for your time, but now I know better.
Absolutely. There you go.
I learned all the moves with this one.
Exactly. But, number one. Absolutely number one. And that's the only thing that could top it right now is the next one. Because as much as I know Ant-Man is going to be great and fun, there's no way in hell it's going to top that. it's going to be a great filler movie.
With this one, I think this would be my number one. Civil War would be my number two.
Yeah, I agree.
And then Winter Soldier would be not my number three. And number four would be Black Panther.
That's
what I would have in my top five. And my fifth one, I would have to go for Iron Man.
Okay. Respect. I think that, yeah, definitely Infinity War is going up top. I think Black Panther goes second, Civil War goes third, Spider-Man goes fourth. I think fifth for me, that's interesting. What is my fifth? Jeez, I guess Guardians of the Galaxy at this point.
Yeah. Well, actually, I like Guardians of the Galaxy 2 a lot more than one. But
I'm going to agree with that because the ego fight was great and they actually showed ego. It wasn't like the Galactus Cloud. They really showed ego at this point. The
music, your father, but he not your pappy.
Exactly. Yeah, and then that moment, too. You just hit the nail. That's why it's going to be number five. Absolutely.
I'm Mary Poppins, y'all.
There you go. That right there. And then the music selection, too, was awesome. Like, I've become a big Fleetwood Mac fan right after this whole thing. And I've listened to The Chain nonstop to this point. And
well, as old as me, you should have been a Fleetwood Mac fan before, man.
Look, I'm from the community. We don't get out, but so much. This ain't the 80s anymore. But no, I've, you know, and that's the other thing I love about what you know, Peter Gunn has done is that I've had so much more appreciation for music because he's taken the music and revitalized it and made it purposeful for, you know, for this occasion, giving it its own, you know, giving it its own direction and narration.
I'm going to douche and correct you. It's James Gunn, by the way.
Oh, it's James Gunn. Yeah, right. I forget. I always say that. You know, douche away. Why you? You could have said that earlier, Rob, like a long time ago.
I was like, is he talking about James Gunn? I swear he's talking about James Gunn. And then he continued and with Gunn. I was like, okay, I'm sure now that he's talking about James Gunn.
You son of a bitch. Well, thank you for that. But nonetheless, you know, James Gunn has done a tremendous job. He does have a brother, though, right?
I think so. His brother.
His brother's Rocket. Yeah, in the movie.
His brother did the motion capture for Rocket, and but his brother was actually
the second in command.
The second command
of the Ravers.
Yeah,
but his name is not Peter, right?
No.
Right. Who the hell is Peter Gunn? I know there's a Peter Gunn out there somewhere. Maybe my neighbor.
Well, one thing is just hope he's not a porn star, because we would know a lot about you there, Dax. You know what I mean?
Oh, dear God, he might be. But
yeah, that's Sean Gunn.
Okay, right, okay. All right, yeah.
Yeah, he also helps him write the scripts and stuff as well.
Absolutely.
And he was on Gilmore Girls.
Was he? Like as a Norm?
Yeah, he was a regular character on Gilmore Girls.
Isn't that a trip?
Also, a known fact, James Gunn actually made a game with Suda51, who I interviewed on my YouTube channel.
What game was that, by the way?
What's up?
What game was that?
Lollipop Chainsaw.
He did that?
He wrote the script for it, yeah.
Damn! No wonder that game is so popularized.
Because the fact that, you know, the girl's highly sexualized.
Well, yeah, but that too. But it's like a cult, it really is like a cult classic game for some people. Like I see cosplays of that a lot.
Yeah, a lot of girl, like lady cosplays, even guys like to dress up as the character. But I remember a friend of mine who's a cosplayer. She goes, I don't see many people dressing up as her anymore. I'm like, really? Have you seen the internet?
Exactly.
Like everywhere you go, it's in someone's cosplay ensemble.
Right next to the Harley Quinn getup.
Yeah, and it was supposed to be a sequel. Like they were supposed to make a second game, but it didn't really make. There was too many complaints about the game being repetitive and.
Right.
It's a hack and slash.
It's not Bayonetta.
Yeah, and I played it. I completed it. It's a really good game.
Which is really funny. Yeah, I've seen more like that cosplay more than I see Bayonetta's cosplay. I barely ever see a Bayonetta cosplay.
Well, Bayonetta is really difficult because she wears literally next to nothing, but she does it in a way that she looks like she's wearing clothes.
Well, it's all her hair, of course, but you can wear black latex easy and just have a hair in a bob.
But you've got like it has a pattern on the latex, so it's like hardly clipped on. So it's a really difficult one to kind of, because you've got to expose without exposing. So,
God damn it, Yaya Han, where are you at? But let's talk about comments real quick before we head on off. And thank you both for being on. It's been awesome. It's been an awesome weekend, and I mean, God, it's been a really great week. Seriously, like
yeah.
For me personally, I'm like, we got the greatest Royal Rumble, which was there. We got Naruto Ultimate Ninja Storm releasing for the Switch, and then this great ass movie. I couldn't have had a better week right now.
Yeah,
into the summer.
I just went through like a 14 video run as well, doing interviews of like various developers and stuff. So that's gonna be fun, and loads of reviews coming. Well, the one thing I will say about the greatest Royal Rumble, did you hear the controversy? Because people are complaining that Finn Balor didn't wear his LGBTQ outfit.
Well, it's like, the same complaint. It's the same complaint as they didn't have women wrestling too. I mean,
yeah,
it is what it is.
Saudi Arabia. What do you expect?
It is. Yeah, exactly. It's like, I mean, well, at least from what I heard, everybody got mad paid though.
Yeah, they got like, I believe it's a 10-year deal, and for every event they're paid like 28 million.
Even the women got paid. The Prince of Saudi Arabia is paying off everybody. I mean, like...
Yeah, he went to Hollywood, and he's like, apparently he's opened up AMC theaters there and stuff as well.
Jesus.
Dude, I mean, like, did you say everybody was in, like, everybody got paid? Like, even people that you haven't seen in ages got paid.
Even the women who basically
who didn't get to wrestle, they got paid.
They got paid.
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, it was awesome to that extent. But hopefully they'll break the proverbial glass ceiling some year with that. And I don't know.
I'm saying to people, women are now allowed to drive in Saudi Arabia. The ban's been lifted.
Right.
To stop women.
So,
and they'll also be allowed to walk around without being escorted by men.
Right.
So there is change happening.
It's one step at a time.
Slow.
It's one step at a time, but it's still better than what it was years ago. And they're trying to make it
their country and just go, but change now.
Exactly. So yeah, I mean, it's all good. It was a great deal, but let's go to the comments real quick. What people said, like Craig Holland, shout out to him, for the winner of the Mega Ran contest. He was the first one to comment on it. There were people waiting. Shout out to my man from New Zealand, by the way. He was the one that he posted something like a week ago or something. I really hope, he's like, I really hope that we haven't talked time for Infinity Wars. I'm like, dude, I've never seen you a day in my life. Where the hell did you come from? You popping up from New Zealand. But
you got fans all over the globe, Dad.
God bless you all. Enjoying all things anime, comics, movies, and games. But Craig Holland said, I can't believe what I just watched last night. Like, same expression we all had. It was...
It's general consensus, man. It's like, it left you just sitting there, just going, I need to process this.
A lot to take in. So much to take in, man. It was amazing. Doug Jenkins, another one who was waiting for this to happen, because he goes to see the movies early. And I feel bad for the people, but like, man, you got to wait until everybody gets to see it. All you early bird elitists. Even sometimes I go to see him early, so I'm like, no, let me wait till everybody gets to see it, at least by Friday, to get it started talking about it. But he said, my head still hurts. Best Marvel movie. It was hard, man. Michael Hogan. Also, I love how Thanos was a three-dimensional character. I absolutely agree with that. I actually cared about him and hated him at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So, absolutely, he did the Walter White thing, man.
He made you kind of agree with him in a sense as well, as like what Megan was saying, because my friend was like sitting there just going, yeah, you know what, I actually agree with what he was trying to do, but she's like, mm-hmm. I don't agree with the way he was doing it though. And I'm like,
yeah, right,
really.
But that's what made him mad. That's what made everybody consider him the Mad Titan.
Yeah.
I tell you what, I can't wait till the best and worst of 2018 because you know damn well it is going to be so unanimous with him winning that is. I would really be surprised who gets picked, who gets voted for this year as best villain, or worst villain, or best villain ever in this year. I think it's going to be a shoe in. Naj Ali Sadiq, of course, always on air. He said also Star-Lord lost his seat at the cookout, definitely for what he did on the show, on the movie. In other words,
literally, I was screaming at him no when he was doing it.
Yeah.
And by the way, he lost his seat at the cookout. I mean, pretty much said he lost his black heart at this point.
He's lost everything, man. The dude's just like, I get you out there, but literally, they could have stopped him.
And the bad part is he can't get it back because of the fact that, like, he got disintegrated.
He dead.
He
dead.
Anthony Whitaker in the group always say he's super dead. So, Ray Riley, just saw the movie. I'm speechless, which is a first for me with movies. Few things. One, I expected Loki to die, although that nod that he died at the first Avenger was funny when he said, we have a Hulk. Two, mm-hmm. Gamora, as soon as she said, a soul for a soul, I think we knew that she was going to die, but damn.
Yeah, because at first I was sitting there thinking, so he's going to sacrifice his own soul.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just see his face drop, and I went, oh no.
Right.
Oh no.
And his last comment, which is the last comment, is like, damn it, Quill. Everybody is on Quill on his shit list. And,
if he didn't do what he did, they would have won.
Yeah, and he said, and shit, how the movie ended, oh boy, I'm going to see it again, which we're all going to have to see again indefinitely. So, yeah. Absolutely, man, it's worth all my money. I mean,
this Wednesday, like, I never go to see a movie twice in the cinema.
Not since Black Panther with me. I mean, this is going to be the second movie I'm going to have to do again. I'm sorry, it's just, you know. Now, all right, here's my last question for you two. This is going to be an interesting one because, I mean, we saw Black Panther. We saw what it did historically. Do you think Avengers Infinity War will do the same?
I think it will eclipse it.
Because, I mean, in order for it to eclipse it, that means people are going to go see it more than once.
Yeah, I think people will probably see it about twice or three times.
Mm-hmm.
I think the consensus will be people will see it at least twice.
Right.
And then they'll see it like three times. For the most, like, I would happily go and see that movie in the cinema
right.
again three times. because it's one of those things where you want to pick it apart. Like, the first time was kind of for the experience,
right?
Because you wanted to watch the movie. The second time is kind of for analysis,
right?
And the third time is kind of pick it apart,
right?
You know,
I think you're right. I think you're right, because I mean, I was talking to it with a friend of mine, and actually, before I do that, what is your view on that, Meg? do you think that is going to outsell Black Panther?
100%. It already, opening weekend, it already beat it.
Yeah. Well, pre-sales too, that, for that matter, yeah, too.
But you know, I still think what Black Panther did was crazy.
It was.
Like the amount of money they made. So.
And historically significant, exactly, too, with that. That's the other thing. I had this talk with a friend of mine, and we did talk about it, and I think we were too quick to talk about it, but the way, and it was too, because he has not seen it yet, and I'm like, he asked me what I'm like, you know, and I thought for a minute, I'm like, you know, the way it ended, I don't know if people are, it's not, I mean, and I couldn't say too much without spoiling it, because he didn't see it, but, you know, it took me a while to kick in, but I really do want to see it again, and I think after a while, because of what happened, it really shocked us so much, I'm like, I don't know if I'm ready to see this again. But now, as we're talking about it, and after, you know, reading everything that everybody was doing and conversate with them online, I think I'm ready. I think I've been able to prepare to watch that again and really dissect it at this point. But it was so moving that it was like, I don't know. Like, I definitely think people will think that this is probably the best of them all. But will they be, because of what happened, will they want to see it again and be ready for it?
If you compare it to The Last Jedi, right? The Last Jedi's box office kind of slipped after the first initial viewing.
Yeah.
Mm.
So you notice that it kept dropping and dropping and dropping because it made, I think, 700 million.
Yeah.
So Rogue One actually beat it,
mm-hmm,
in terms of US sales. And the reason being was, it was one, that's a movie where I saw it once in cinema, I was like, I know everything there needs to know.
Yeah.
Everything was in your face. With this, you would have to at least watch it four times before you understand exactly what the hell's going on.
Every part of it, because there was a few different sections. There was the Peter and Iron Man and Doctor Strange. There was the Avengers and Thor. There was, you know, the Avengers and Earth, you know, during their thing. There was so many different things going on that you got to dissect and take in and make sure you didn't miss anything and possibilities of what might happen next. So yeah, there's a definite. At least, if anything, I think people are going to see it twice.
Yeah, twice. I said at least twice.
At least twice. Now, the thing is with Black Panther was that people saw it way more than twice.
Yeah,
I've had people say that they watched it and as many as six, and I haven't seen anything like that since Coming to America. Before we had, when we started getting VHS players and all this stuff and VCRs and all this stuff, and, you know, everything wasn't coming out as quick as they are now, which, by the way, May 15th, Black Panther comes out on digital, so I can't wait for that. I'm already pre-ordered with that, baby. So, but yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. I'm looking forward to it. I am definitely going to look. I'm like Fry from Futurama right now. Shut up and take my money.
Shut up and take my money.
I'm surprised those memes have not come up yet as far as this, because it definitely deserves the Fry meme at this point. So, ladies and gentlemen, this will do it for this very special edition of Talk Time Live. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Megan, thank you so much, as always. You've been a wonderful guest, as always, and you're the best. Love you so much.
Stop it.
Sir Burhan, thank you so much for being on the show as well and giving your intriguing intellect, as always.
it's someone who's a movie buff. I love talking about stuff like this, especially when a movie is so good. Absolutely. You know, Oh, by the way, cheap plug, if you want to basically hear more of my opinions.
Mm-hmm.
I got a video reactivated recently that Fox basically copyright claimed to hell, which was Logan. I got to take the copyright claims down.
Really?
Believe it or not. Yes. I actually won one for a change.
All right.
So check out my review of Logan. That's on my YouTube channel. It's a series I call Movie File,
yeah,
where I sit down and discuss certain movies. I do it by explaining like certain criterias, what the movie has,
right,
what I think of it, and also giving the movie a rating at the end. I also have a gaming series called Rather British Review. Mm-hmm. Got more games coming out for that. And a series of interviews I've done for EGX Res. I was there recently, and I'm also going to be at MCM London Comic Con at the, I believe it's at the end of May, so it's going to be May 25th onwards.
Cool.
For 3 days, I'll be doing tons of interviews, including the awesome Kevin Conroy, hopefully, fingers crossed.
Knock on
my wooden table right now. So make sure you guys check out youtube.com/TheNerdGenius, and it's NERDGENIOUS. I'll make sure that Dax,
you get my evil twin now? What the?
Yeah, exactly. I thought you should do. I have an evil
twin. Evil twin with the Z.
The Z. Get Dax to basically leave a link below in the
absolutely
comments section. So, thank you very much, guys, and thanks for having me on. It was a pleasure as always.
Absolutely, ladies and gentlemen, that will do it for this edition. On behalf of myself, Megan Walsh, Michael Burhan, all I gotta say is learn to let go, live life, and of course, love all things anime, comics, movies, and games. This is ACMG Presents Talk Time Live. We are out of here. Have a safe week.
This episode of ACMG Presents Talk Time Live is brought to you by Viewfinders Identity Search and Design, your choice for multimedia development for your brand. Visit VFISAD.com and find out how we can make your vision your reality.